You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. We are about to start Act Two after a lovely intermission. Thanks for sticking with us. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite cool summer drink? It is National Beverage Day. And finally, the weather appears to be heading in the right direction. And I think you're right, Conrad. We need to get Brittany Merlot on the show. She is a big-time award winner.
Yes.
Swept the WBAs. And that is exciting. And Brittany works really hard at meteorology. And she's like a doctor of meteorology.
I think so.
Dr. Merlot. So enjoy the nice weather and tell us what your favorite cool summer drink is, folks. Alcoholic, non-alcoholic, whatever your beverage is of choice, let us know. Cliff Wall will be here in a little while. We're going to talk about Wisconsin State Parks. He is on the board of the Friends of the Wisconsin State Parks. So we'll talk to Cliff about all the fun things you can do this summer. Trails, parks, it's going to be a lot of fun. Cliff's been on the show before, and he is a swell guy. That's coming up in a little bit. Right now, I just learned, actually, a day or two ago, that an incentives bill will be debated tomorrow. They're having a hearing tomorrow, I think, on the state Senate. We'll get all the details from our next guest, but it's Assembly Bill 231, a film incentive bill, and they're going to give it some attention tomorrow, so we'll see what happens. And here to help us kind of decipher this and figure out where things are at is a gentleman named Co O'Neill. He has spent the last 20 years teaching art and design and video production and screenwriting at UW-Stout. And not only that, he used to work for Lucasfilm Limited. That's kind of cool. We'll talk to him a little bit about that as well. And it is my pleasure right now to welcome Co to Nightlight. Hey, buddy.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well.
Did I get
the nice intro?
Did I get it right? Did I miss something?
No, you did. No, you got it right.
Okay.
I've been teaching for the last 20 years or so. Not always at Stout. I just started at Stout in 2020. Before that, I was Portland State University in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
And yeah, before that, I was in the movie business.
Very nice. Well, we'll get to all of that, I hope. But right now, this is a big deal tomorrow. What do you expect to happen? So it's Assembly Bill 231. The film incentive bill. What are you hoping happens tomorrow, and what will we know? First of all, tell us a little bit about Co, if you would. What if the bill does pass? What does that mean?
So what it means is that the tax incentives could draw film production, television production, actually any kind of media production, including advertising, to the state of Wisconsin. And you know, a lot of other states have it. I think we're one of only three or four states that doesn't have a state film board, and only 13 states that doesn't have any kind of incentives. And so what will happen is it allows any production company that is going to spend a certain amount of money on a production to do it here. They spend the money here, and then they get the rebate based on the money that they've spent. So for example, if you came here to shoot a TV series and you spent $20 million in that TV series, you could get up to 30% back on that, because all of your payroll, all of your rentals, all that stuff that you would normally be paying taxes on goes right to the state of Wisconsin. And then the state of Wisconsin would refund 30% of that. So $6 million.
Yeah, and that's significant, and that makes a big difference. I mean, when you're choosing where to shoot your film, I shot a film in Wisconsin 20 years ago, and there were no incentives. And then I think they were here briefly, and then they didn't last long, and now there's a new attempt. What is the difference, Co, between getting an incentive, and it also says a 30% tax credit? I know that's what you're referring to, but is there a difference? I mean, filmmakers would rather have the cash back, right?
Well, that's right. And that's what the incentive is that you do get a tax rebate. And so it's not a grant. And I think that's one of the points of confusion, is that a lot of people think, oh, the state's just handing out money to people from out of state making shows here. And that's not the case. The case is you only get the money back once you've spent a certain amount of your budget here in the state over the course of a year, for example. So, you know, some great examples are New Mexico, where they shot Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. Like, those shows weren't written to take place in Albuquerque. They took place in Albuquerque because of New Mexico had a 45% tax incentive at the time.
Wow.
And Georgia is similar with the things like The Walking Dead or any of the Marvel movies, you know, that were shot all in the Atlanta area. It's because of the incentive. And you know, Georgia has been doing that for years, which is why they draw so much production.
I know that, you know, Minnesota has, you can take advantage of two incentives if you shoot in northern Minnesota in the Iron Range. How, let's say Wisconsin passes this and you get a 30% rebate. Will that, do they still have to maybe push for even more to be competitive with some of these other states?
Not really, because Wisconsin does offer a lot of regional advantages. I mean, okay. Even look at, you know, topography. So the way we have hills and valleys and streams and lakes and all that kind of stuff that you see in other states, just not to the look that we have here. So think about a place like Door County. Like, you're not going to find a region like that in Minnesota, as nice as Minnesota is.
Sure.
And I think one of the reasons Minnesota does have it regional is because Minneapolis is such a center of advertising activity that could eat up a ton of incentive. And so then, you know, if feature films or even car ads want to go to the Duluth area, they have to have a separate incentive. Otherwise, Minneapolis would just absorb it and it would be gone for the whole state. Whereas Wisconsin, I think, is much more balanced, and you won't see people just gravitating to Madison. They'll be going to places like, you know, Superior, like I said, Door County, or even Green Bay, because of just how different all of those regions look.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is your gut telling? What do you think will happen tomorrow? And what's the best case scenario for a group like Action Wisconsin to come out of the hearing tomorrow?
Well, unfortunately, it's not like a pageant, you know. They don't just hold up the numbers and say, good job, you win. You know, you have to actually kind of... I know that would be nice if we could just get tens and move on, but it's a long process. But the good news is that it is a very bipartisan bill, and it was actually drafted by Republicans, and obviously a lot of the arts kind of go to the liberal side. And so both sides are really vying for it because of the economic factors, you know, and advantages it has towards the state. In other states, I was on the state film board in Oregon for many years back in the early 2000s, and that was a very balanced thing. And the original concern was that, oh, all the work's going to go right to the cities. But it turned out not to be the case. Like, people were actually looking for kind of rural communities or smaller communities that have a charm to them that you just can't fake. And so so in terms of what's happening tomorrow, you're probably aware that we've already done some testimony where we went to some of the events like in Hayward or West Dallas or Wausau, and spoke there and said, here's our case. We had like 3 minutes, right? So tomorrow will be a dedicated hearing just to this bill, and there is no time limit. So it's not really a Cory Booker style filibuster, but it is the sort of thing where you can take 10 minutes and really make your case. A bunch of people can speak. So they'll just listen to us for a couple hours. It'll be the whole, you know, committee will be there. And so it's really important to kind of be down there and be able to answer questions. And I think that's probably the biggest difference. But yeah, then they'll have to go and vote on it before the full legislature. It won't be, they, you know, the committee makes recommendations to the full government. They don't just decide right there and sign it off.
So when will that happen? Like, let's say tomorrow goes well, when would the vote take place?
I wish I knew more about Wisconsin politics. You know, at the state level anyway, I don't know if they have like votes, you know, quarterly or daily, or, you know, how they, how it goes. And also some stuff can get tabled, right? They might say, oh, we'll push this to the next session or whatever. So my hope is that it would happen in the next month or so, because then you could still get your state film board set up, and that takes some organizing, because there are two components to this bill. It's not only the incentive, but also having, you know, eventually establishing a state film board, which can be just one or two people. It doesn't have to be, you know, a dozen folks, but the idea is you're starting to get local liaisons. You know, Minnesota has those where in smaller communities like Brainerd or even Roseau, they have a liaison that you can call to get location pictures or to walk people around if they're interested in certain areas. So getting that set up will take some time, but it'd be great if we could be rolling by the end of the year. But honestly, I don't know. That's my speculation.
That's the voice of Co O'Neill. He is a professor at UW-Stout and has worked in the movie business for much of his adult life. He is taking a few minutes with us tonight to talk about this Bill 231 that will be up or is getting a hearing tomorrow in Madison. Will you be there, Co?
I will not. I'm actually just finishing up my semester here at Stout.
Oh, yeah.
The Action Wisconsin is sending down, I think, at least 12 people to be there to answer questions and give different perspectives from all over the state. So it's not just, you know, Milwaukee. It's also places like Rice Lake and Superior and Hayward, and people coming from all over to go testify.
It's just great advertising for the state, you know, and I really hope you guys are successful. Where do you think the public stands on this bill? Because you mentioned there's bipartisan support. And I remember meeting with someone in Madison about 10 years ago when I first moved back here that he wanted to, and he was dating a Republican representative, and they were very passionate about getting the bill passed. So that should tell you, you know, with the bipartisan support, is it easier to get the public support? Where do you think the public stands on this right now?
It's a good question, because in other states that I've operated in the film business, you sometimes have some kind of maybe sort of big city feelings where you think that all the money's in the big cities and all these big cities are making decisions for smaller communities. And but also on the other side, you have a lot of people becoming more aware of kind of more rural-based productions. Like, you think about the Walking Dead, I use that example a lot because of how long that show has run and how many people have seen it, so something familiar. But that didn't take place in Atlanta. You know, a lot of it was shot out in the sticks, frankly.
Yeah.
And so, but I think the challenge with the public is saying, well, wait, now we're spending $10 million a year on movie production. It's like, no, that's a cap on the credit. So it is going to be an important message to put out that people don't get money by shooting here. They only get the money based, you know, percentage of what they've spent is an incentive to shoot here.
I think too, like at least my personal opinion is, I think you have to build a culture in the state too, and start young with kids theater and the arts and music and dance and acting and all that kind of stuff. Because I've seen it happen in some states where, oh, we need money for infrastructure. Oh, kill the incentives bill. That's not how it works. This should be part of our culture in the fabric. But I think the goal, if it does pass, will be keeping the public interested in it, right? And keeping it going year after year.
That's right. And also explaining that it's not like a portion of the budget, of the state budget, that's sitting there waiting to be spent. It only goes out when money has come in. So,
right.
You know, what we like to say, kind of revenue neutral, you know, where you're not spending money just to spend money. You're actually waiting till you get a revenue in from these productions, and then you return a certain amount of it, because all of the money that they've spent has gone into these communities. And I think a lot of people don't think about what goes into making a movie, which, you know, having made one and having worked on them, it's not just about let's rent a camera and go trample all the cornfields with our trucks. It's more about, you know, even one of the representatives I was talking to had made a movie in the Chippewa Falls area and had said, we rented portable air conditioners because the location that we were in was so hot, and we had rent everyone in the whole area. And this is, you know, somewhere north of Chippewa Falls. And so it's, you think about that, or you think about, you know, even like cherry picker lifts where we hang lights from, like that, they rent that locally. They don't drive them in from Chicago or Los Angeles or places like that. That stuff is right in the town you're shooting in.
Right. And so their incentive to do that is because that's how they can claim the incentives too. If they spend money out of state, it doesn't help them.
That's right. I was just going to say, add quick too. It's a huge infusion just in terms of personnel too. So all those people have to stay in hotels. They'll eat at restaurants. They'll get on catering. And I think it was Rob Lowe, the actor, just recently said he was on a TV series where it was cheaper to fly 200 people to Ireland and make a movie than it was to shoot it in L.A.
Hold on 1 second. Okay, Co. We're going to do a really fast break, and then let's pick up there. We're going to get cut off here. Co. O'Neill is here. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this gorgeous Tuesday night here in the state of Wisconsin. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite cool summer drink? It's National Beverage Day, and it looks like summer is, well, about to be here. So Cliff Wall is coming up in a few minutes to talk about the Wisconsin State Parks, something we have here that is an absolute treasure, and we'll talk about some of the things we can do this summer and what he does there for Friends of the Park. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our current guest, Coe O'Neill, who is a professor at UW-Stout and has worked in the movie business. He is involved with Action Wisconsin and trying to get film incentives passed here in Wisconsin. Assembly Bill 231 will get a hearing tomorrow in front of, is it the Ways and Means Committee, Coe?
That's correct.
Okay. So before we move on, I want to ask you about what you did at Lucasfilm, because I find that fascinating too. But how can people, if they support this cause, what can they do?
Well, what they can do is let their representatives know that this is something they're interested in. And then once the, you know, if the bill is passed and once things take shape, just to, you know, let people know that you're there and that the community is accepting, and then supporting the film board and by sending in something as simple as photos of interesting things in your area, because nice. It's expensive and time consuming for an actual location scout to go out to every single town in a state, you know.
Great point. All right. So let's, I would love to hear what you did. I know you worked for George Lucas, I believe. Our friend Nathan Deming told me that you worked for Lucasfilm. What did you do there?
That's right. I was at, I started at Skywalker Sound.
Wow.
Which back in the day, this is pre-Marvel, before Disney bought the whole empire, as it were. So I was hired as part of a big hire up for Episode One. You know, at the time there had not been a Star Wars movie in something like 30 years, that
yeah.
27 years. And so Episode One was being released in May of 1999. And I started there, and my original job was as a digital audio technician, which basically meant I restarted computers that crashed and helped support when sound editors or sound designers and mixers were finishing a movie, just making sure everything worked smoothly. And then I transitioned into assistant sound editing, which involves cutting sounds. And so I was on, you know, technically when you're there and you're, you know, working on all these movies, you could say I worked on over 50 films, because over 50 films went through there in the time that I was there.
Jeez, that's amazing.
But it's not like I'm, you know, was on editing on every single movie.
Just admit it. You're the next Luke Skywalker. It's fine.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. My first day at work, some guy showed up at the security kiosk dressed as Boba Fett and said he had a script he wanted George to read. So there was a lot of zaniness that happened there in those days.
Was that up in Central California or was that in L.A.?
No, that was San Rafael, California.
Okay.
So it's a little town called Nicasio, and George has a bunch of property out there, and that's where Skywalker Ranch is.
He's done well for himself.
Yeah, not bad.
Having done sound editing, it's funny. I just watched The Conversation about a week and a half ago, which I hadn't seen in years.
Yeah. That's a Coppola movie. It's hugely underrated. It's genius.
It's great. And to me anyway, at least what comes to mind is that's the first film I think I saw where sound was so important, or maybe Blowout with Travolta back in the day. But I love the way they use sound, and you realize how important it is to that plot, but also just to movies in general.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it was sound had kind of been around, but it hadn't really come through as a narrative sort of element, you know. And ironically, one of the first movies to really use sound as a narrative element was Citizen Kane, because of how they just used things like reverb and giant spaces and that kind of thing. And that didn't really happen before that. But there was a long time where, you know, we had so many musicals and the studio pictures in the 50s, and that was just about everybody lip syncing pre-recorded stuff and dancing to it. And so when the French films came through in the 70s or late 60s, and then Coppola in the early 70s, pretty amazing stuff.
That's great stuff. Hey, before we let you go, and I really truly thank you for your time tonight. This has been fun getting to know you. I hope we can get you back sometime. But do you have a cool summer drink that you are in favor of or a big fan of?
Man, I'm a sucker for the Arnold Palmer, you know, just lemonade and iced tea. It's like, can't go wrong.
Arnold Palmer's running away with it tonight. That's fantastic. Coe, great meeting you. Thank you so much for your time, and good luck tomorrow, and good luck with your efforts. I hope you guys are successful. Let me know if I can help in any way.
Yeah, thanks for your support.
You got it. All right, that's Coe O'Neill. He is a professor at UW-Stout, trying hard to get Assembly Bill 231 pushed through so we can have film incentives here in Wisconsin, which I think, to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, especially when you have bipartisan support and a lot of really dedicated and passionate people working to get this done. It could be a great thing for our state. So like he said, if you're in favor of that, you think it could be good for the state as well, please contact your representatives and let them know. Our question of the night, as I mentioned, is what is your favorite cool summer drink? Summer appears to be here. It is National Beverage Day. Yes, we have a National Beverage Day. And Steady Eddie says, checks in from the 608, and he says, Pete, my favorite in the backyard summertime drink is one cold bottle of Spotted Cow. But if Cardinal Pizzaballa is selected as the next Pope, I will drink two. Slow down, Steady Eddie. It's not even officially summer yet. But have another Spotted Cow, buddy. You've earned it. Just from your texts alone and what you bring to Nightlight. I hope you have two beers because I think you've earned it. Bridget from the 818 says, fresh squeezed icy cold lemonade. Loved it as a kid and love it as an adult. That is a great choice. Thank you, Bridget. And second vote for lemonade tonight, too. It's like the all-American drink, right?
I think it just tastes really good.
Lemonade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it goes really well with iced tea. Like, lemonade mixed together with a lot of stuff tastes good. Have you ever had Sprite and lemonade together?
I think I have.
Yeah. That is a really good drink.
We could seriously do, like, just a what's your favorite lemonade? Because there's so many great lemonades, too. Oh, Country Time used to make one, but Fresh Squeezed is great, you know.
Yep.
AJ in the 608 says, good day, Pete and Conrad. If I have to say, my favorite summer drink is iced tea. I love to add lime and lemon. Interesting. Lemon and lime. I like it, AJ. And if you're feeling loosey-goosey, a bit of booze. Loosey-goosey is a good thing. Thank you, AJ. Keep those texts coming. When we come back, we're going to have some state park talk with our pal, Cliff Wall. He is a board member of Friends of the State Parks. Stick around for this and find out what parks you should visit this summer because we have beautiful ones here in Wisconsin. This is Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. FG. Let's floss gingerly, baby. What phrase would get an NFL team more fired up than that? And Tom Brady yelling, LFG, let's floss gingerly. I love it. Perfect thing for combat sports. Hey, if you're listening, folks, and you like the show, don't be afraid to give us a like or a follow on Facebook or YouTube or where else are we on? Conrad, we're on X.
Twix, yeah. Twix. We're on Twix.
Friendster, maybe?
Yeah.
Anybody still on Friendster? MySpace?
I don't know.
We love to get likes and follows. And we love when you text us. So you can still get in under the wire. What is your favorite cool summer drink? Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. I met this gentleman about a month ago when he was here. And we were talking about an entirely different topic. We'll touch on that too. But he is a member of the Friends of the Park board. Friends of the Park in the state of Wisconsin.
Friends of Wisconsin State Parks.
I'm glad you clarified that, Cliff, but don't get mouthy. Cliff Wall is here. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, I'm glad to be here and trade some barbs and, you know, take a few pokes at...
You used to sell cars, and I've only known you. This is the second time I've been around you, and you seem like just like the nicest guy. Did you sell a ton of cars? How rich are you? How much do you make a year, Cliff? That's really why I wanted you...
I'm on Social Security now. I'm on a fixed income.
Okay.
Can we leave it at that?
Or... Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'm not asking for a loan. I'm just like, you're a nice guy. You must have done very well. So it's great to have you back here, buddy. And when you were here with Sam Venasi.
Yes, sir.
You guys were trying to get Jack into the NFL Hall of Fame, a campaign to get him in. He hired, or was part of the hiring team that brought Vince Lombardi here. Pretty good resume. And you were going to set up a booth at the draft or a station or something. How did that go?
Well, here's what we did. I think we got petitions, and we put them around the city.
Okay.
Can I name names?
Yeah.
Okay. So we had some at Margaritas. We had some, of course, at the Redwood Inn. My buddy Mike Bloomer at St. Michael's. Let's see, a Bravo restaurant.
You mean flyers like just to?
No, we actually put. Yes, placards with petitions,
okay.
So people come in and sign.
Oh, nice.
Union Hotel, of course, because that's kind of famous in Packer history.
Okay.
Boss's News Depot, another icon.
Of, yeah.
Let's see. And then the Blue Collar along Broadway, Cropsey's, and Lenny's Pub.
Nice.
And there's some more around that I don't remember. And then we did set up, or Sam did set up a tent on the corner of Lombardi and Ridge Road.
Yeah.
And he actually had Jack's daughter, Valerie, there, and she got a ton of signatures. I mean, just a ton. So we've got public support. Now we have to get the sports writers involved. And I did talk to Pete Doherty, and he said, well, find out who's on the committee for the seniors. There's three groups, I guess: seniors, owners, and contributors.
Okay.
And he'd be a contributor, obviously.
Yeah.
So we've got to do that and get a little. Oh, I would say maybe an 8x10 sheet of high points of why Jack should be in the media. Voted to the NFL Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's already in the Packer Hall of Fame.
Yeah, which is pretty cool on its own. But I mean, that would be something if you guys could help get him in.
And if I remember correctly, you're mostly talking about the Bears because you're from Chicago, and so is Sam. So I was trying to interject. Hey, let's talk about.
I know you kept trying to reel us back, and all I wanted to do was ask him questions about what it's like growing up with two brothers, one who became a rock star executive here in Green Bay, and another one who was an executive for the Bears that helped build the 85 Bears.
Right, right.
That's incredible.
Right.
And he was a veterinarian. He wanted nothing to do with that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's correct. Interesting guy to listen to and to talk to. I really enjoy hearing his story.
He was fun to have on. I hope you guys are successful. But you do a lot of work with Friends of the Park in Green Bay, but you're part of Friends of the
Wisconsin State Parks.
Okay.
Okay. FWSP.org. I got to put the.
Yeah. FWSP.org.
That's Friends of Wisconsin State Parks.
Okay.
.org. And that's our website. Obviously, we have, just like you, we have a Facebook page, so like us.
Absolutely, yeah. So like us. Tell us what your group does. What do you guys, what are your passions, and what are you trying to do on behalf of the state parks?
Well, here's kind of officially.
Okay.
We are the umbrella group for Friends groups of individual state parks. So our real mission is preserve, promote, protect, and enhance state parks.
Yeah.
And trails. We should include trails on there.
Absolutely.
We've kind of gone down to two things, which is advocate and educate. Now, just so I don't get in trouble, we do not lobby.
Okay.
We're not a lobbyist organization. We are a 501c3.
Okay.
So we basically it's promote parks and, just what it says. And
yeah.
Of course, in 2024, there were 20 million visits at the state parks.
And, wow.
And that's just parks. And then there's also trails. We have a trail right out the door here, basically, the Fox River Trail.
Fox River, yeah.
And that actually starts on Porlier Street and heads south from Porlier Street in Green Bay, so there's no confusion on that. So,
how many of those 20 million people are from Wisconsin? Like, I'm sure we get a lot of visitors from Illinois, Iowa, maybe Minnesota. Right. But how many of those do people in the state utilize the parks like you hope they would?
Yeah, yes, they do. Okay. Now, I should know that. You got me. You shot me, and I don't.
I wasn't
have an answer.
Trying for that, Cliff.
That's
right. Next time, a pie graph. Would it kill you to bring in a nice pie graph?
Yeah, and we can. Yeah, pie graphs always great on the radio.
Exactly.
I thought he was doing well. I wore my Heritage Hill volunteer shirt.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. See, like,
volunteer in the back.
I got it. Yeah.
And of course, fantastic. That's what we try to do. Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. We have 10 person board right now, and hint, we could use some more members.
Conrad?
Yep. We could use another board member or two.
Maybe go a little younger. Get the kid Conrad Krieger on there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, here's what I see as kind of an issue is, if you look at me, the board looks a lot like me or a female version of me. So
you're the young guy on the board. They call you kid.
Yeah, they call. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kind of. Yes.
I'm actually older than you, Cliff. So I don't know if I'm the answer either. But Conrad,
I don't think you are. But
this is great. So when did this start? Like, everybody has like a side hustle, a pet project, a hobby. What is this for you? Is this a hobby? And how did you get into this? Like, when did you realize you wanted to do something? You're just passionate about parks your whole life, or did this develop at some point?
I can start way back. My uncle and my father, my uncle bought some property at Whitefish Dunes, which is now a state park, but it was between Whitefish Dunes or the beach and Cave Point. He had property there in the 1940s.
Where is that?
Where is what?
Whitefish Dunes.
Whitefish Dunes is north of Sturgeon Bay on the lakeside.
Okay.
Of kind of nice. Between Jackson Port and Sturgeon Bay. So gotcha. let's say about 10 miles out of 10 miles out of Sturgeon Bay on the Lake Michigan side.
Gotcha.
So they built a place there. So I was going to that area before I was born. Kind of my, you know, when you talk about
prenatal, yes, you're going back.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So I, it is now part, actually, it's part of Whitefish Dunes State Park. In fact, you can still see the foundation, the concrete foundation. There's still some remnants there. And if you're walking from the Dunes Park towards Cave Point, kind of along the waterfront, you'll see two huge hemlock trees. That's what I remember as a kid, and they are still there.
Oh,
and
wow.
You can walk down. And, you know, Cave Point, if you haven't been there, it's pretty spectacular.
Not. We go to Door County a lot, too, but I haven't. We mostly are on the bay side. Yeah. But we've been to the lake side.
You sound like Pottawatomie Peninsula, you know.
Mostly Sister Bay, Egg Harbor.
Sister Bay, okay.
But we've been to Jackson Port, and we've gone to eat in Bailey's Harbor. But, Door County is just beautiful to begin with. But what are some of your favorite state parks? Like, where would you tell someone to go?
Oh, boy. Let's see.
Pick three, you know.
Pick three, okay. You know, my wife and I were just at Pottawatomie because they opened up the tower about a week and a half ago.
Is that the one in Fish Creek?
Nope, that's Peninsula. One in Sturgeon Bay is Pottawatomie.
Okay, gotcha.
And we walked up the tower, 100 steps up the tower.
Nice.
And beautiful view of Sawyer Harbor and the islands out there and the bay coming into Sturgeon Bay.
Yeah.
Beautiful up on that thing. And, of course, I do like Rock Island way up because that's rugged camping. That's true camping.
Is that still in Door County?
That's on the tip of Door County it's just past Washington Island on that little chain that kind of heads across.
Oh, wow.
And that's a park worth going to because that was started by a Chicago. You're going to love this. It was started by a guy in Chicago who invented the big transformers. And he is Norwegian. So he has a replica of a Norwegian longhouse there, and it's a boathouse. Really interesting. And he was trying to grow rutabagas and different things and kind of make it, I don't want to say communal, but kind of a communal area. And, of course, then employees from the company could go up. You know, they take a boat from Chicago and go up there. Wow. It's worth visiting. And, of course, there's a lighthouse. You can actually be a docent at the lighthouse for a week. And you have to be at the lighthouse for, like, from 10 till 3 or something to show people the lighthouse and take them up and see a replica of the Fresnel lens.
Oh, that'd be a cool side gig. Absolutely.
So to get there, though, you have to go from the Washington Island ferry across and then go across Washington Island to catch the Carfi, the Rock Island ferry.
Oh, my
gosh. Now that the water is low, you can probably almost walk across.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you might have to jump or swim for about 10 feet or so. But
I could handle that. I'm an athlete. Cliff Wall is here, folks. He used to sell cars in abundance, and now he is working on behalf of the Wisconsin State Parks. He's been on the show before, and we're talking state parks. So
I didn't answer the question. You asked me
a question. You told me to. I wasn't going to let you off the hook, though. You got to give me one non-Door County park now.
Okay, all right.
Let's do that.
I had never been to Lapham Creek, and we had a meeting there, and that's in just past Waukesha.
Okay.
And that's a really nice park. They have it's worth seeing. People donated, a couple donated land and their house. So the house is like I'd call it kind of Frank Lloyd Wright-ish.
Oh, nice.
A lot of glass overlooking the Lapham Peak area.
Okay.
And that's, you know, the Ice Age Trail goes there.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Another one is Willow River Park. That's over by Hudson.
Okay.
And of course, I've not been there, but the oldest park in Wisconsin is Interstate Park in St. Croix Falls. And that's
way west, right?
Way west.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And then across that, there's the Minnesota Interstate Park. So that's how they
Okay.
One side of the, of course, the west side of the river is Minnesota yeah. Interstate, and east side is Wisconsin. And that's the oldest park.
Is the Chequamegon Forest part of the Wisconsin State Parks, or is that a different?
That's technically a national
park.
Forest.
Okay.
National forest.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cliff Wall is here. We're going to do a very short break, and we will come back. And I don't know. I'll try to keep you on your toes, Cliff. I'll ask you something cool. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. So
you're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me here. We are barreling through a Tuesday night show here with our guest, current guest, Cliff Wall. Tomorrow night, folks, we have all kinds of fun planned. Oh, the lights just went out again, Conrad. What is the deal?
I'm not sure.
What are you doing over there?
Not making any movement over there.
Is that what we got to do? Well, we're waving our arms around. What are we supposed to do? Do a tap dance or something? Tomorrow night on the show, folks, it's Everyone's a Critic show. Piet Levy is here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He writes about music. And then our pal Rob Thomas joins us to talk movies and TV at 7:20. So tune in for that. We have a few minutes more here with Cliff Wall, who is a board member of Friends of the Wisconsin State Parks. And we got about 5 minutes left, Cliff. What do you want to hit on? How can people get involved?
Okay, let's talk about why really I'm here.
If you're pulling a fast one here, by all means.
No. So we talked about advocate and educate, but we're tasked this year because it's 125 years of Wisconsin State Parks. And look at this. I brought Pete a present. It was either the famous Swedish dish towel or a kayak, and I couldn't get the kayak in the door, so I brought him the dish towel.
Thanks for nothing, Cliff. Yeah. This is great, though. It's kind of cool.
You know, you can probably sell that on eBay if
done.
Probably 50 cents you might get.
And I'll donate it to the parks. Everybody wins.
So we are trying to raise $125,000 that as an organization, Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. And it's a little harder than you think because donors also like to give to the parks in their area.
Right.
But I look at it this way. Let's say there's 20 million visits to state parks and trails every year.
Which is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. If each one of those visits, people that visited gave a dollar, we'd raise $20 million.
And do you have that? Do you have like a little bucket or something where you kind of encourage donations?
Well, we're trying to get there. And of course, so $125,000, I can kind of break it down.
Yeah.
So, because I'm on that committee of trying to raise money.
Yeah.
So I say, well, we can get 10 corporate donors at $12,500 each.
Okay.
We can get 1,000 $125 donors, or we can get a small portion of the state of Wisconsin, 125,000 people each donate a dollar.
Yeah.
And we're there. You know, I like to break the numbers down to smaller, chewable amounts. You know?
Yeah. And it doesn't seem so overwhelming, right? Yeah.
Now then people say, so what do you do with that money? Well, as a group, we take any money received and we give out matching grants to the friends group around the state. And we have matching grants, so sometimes it's something as simple as a picnic table, a fire ring, signage for the parks.
Okay.
Then it, you know, goes up the ladder. We'd like to have a naturalist in the state parks during the summer to have a naturalist program. So we'd contribute half of that for the parks, and then up to it like a track wheelchair for people with disabilities access to parks.
Do they not have that now, or is that?
Well, we've got a few. We'd like to get more around the bigger parks,
right.
Or a kayak launch
Yeah,
some
totally.
Of those kind of things. So, you know, it goes up the chain that we try to help friends groups. And there's 67. Well, let's start. There's 50 state parks.
Okay.
There's 44 state trails, and there's 67 friends groups. Now I'm going to ask you a question about state. There's 44 state trails. They're all on land except for one.
They're all on land except for one, which would mean it would have to be sky or water. Is water than the water, EA yeah. water? Okay, so, a kayak.
Well, there's actually a trail along Lake Michigan, kind of from Sheboygan north.
Oh wow, nice.
So that's the only one that's not on land.
How do you do? Is it kayak or is it like?
Well, you can swim, but you can walk. You can,
oh, thanks. Yeah.
That's why I didn't bring.
You just lost me, Cliff. Yeah,
that's why I didn't bring the kayak. And then, of course, the Ice Age Trail is big too. That's 1,200 miles.
That sounds so cool. I love that. All right. So before we run out of time, I want to talk about you have a couple big events coming up, but people can find out more information about what you're talking at the website, which is
and donate too.
And donate. And feel free to donate. Yeah. I'm going to give Cliff.
He's going to give me. Yeah, Peter's going to donate back this nice.
Whatever I sell that for on eBay, I'm going to give you the money. It's fwsp.org. Right. Fwsp.org.
There's donate buttons all over that website. You can't get on the website.
And like you said, even a buck. If everybody, that's kind of cool. But talk about these. You have this September 20th. Tell us what's happening September
20th. So September 20th at Interstate Park, which is in St. Croix Falls. Okay. The reason it's there is that was the first state park in Wisconsin in 1900. Across the river is the Minnesota Interstate.
Okay.
Park. So September 20th is going to be the celebration of 125 years of state parks.
That's really cool. Yeah. So, and then you have another big event coming up that you said you didn't have all the details on, but people can find that.
Lapham Peak is opening up a new visitor center.
Okay.
And that's coming up in May. Go to the website to find that. And then one last thing, Pete.
Yeah.
So how can your listeners help? Donate. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Join a friends group and volunteer. The other thing is, I found out trying to raise money that some of these businesses have to have a sponsor that works for the business to get your foot in the door.
Gotcha.
So if you're in a business where they have a giving program for recreation and we need a sponsor, get a hold of us on the website.
Okay.
Yeah, get a hold of us on the website.
I think Conrad LLC is all we need. We can donate through that. So.
Yes.
Cliff, this is fun. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, ginger beer, by the way.
Keep up the... Oh, yeah, I didn't ask you your favorite cool summer drink. Ginger beer is perfect because let's floss gingerly. One more text in the 414. Tom checks in, says, lemon with a shot of tequila lime is overrated or underrated?
Overrated.
He's... chiming in with the drinks he doesn't like. Okay. Thanks, Tom. I would like to thank my guest, Mr. Cliff Wall, who came into the studio tonight. That's always fun. Great to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
Giles, Co-O'Neill, and thank you for all your texts and calls, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back to do this all again tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.